Dan's talk, obviously, as you just realized, segues fairly well into this, and this is just a subset of what the committee talked about, and that's the age endpoints. For some of you, this is going to be, at least the first few slides are going to be familiar because this is something that has been talked about in previous BIF meetings, but just hang on, when we get towards the end, it'll actually be new information. This is a project that is actually initiated by the American Scimitar Association, and so Jerry Lipsy and Wade Shaker there had a large role in it, and then also there's been other researchers that have worked on this with me, Mark Ants from here at Colorado State, Jenny Cruz at Ag Canada, and then Dick Foss and John Pollock at Cornell. And what we initially did, what's been presented before, is that we were revisiting the carcass EPDs. And the reason for that was there was some concern that, because the thought is cattle are not generally killed on an age basis. When we measure weaning weight or measure yearling weight, it's more logical to use an age endpoint. There was the thought that maybe something like fat or marbling would be a more appropriate endpoint to use for the carcass traits. And about the same time, there was some concern with at least a particular EPD, and I'll talk a bit about that more in a minute, that maybe that EPD was not as predictive as we would have liked it to be at 80% retail cut. And so what we did is instead of just looking at that one, we looked at five traits, fat, carcass weight, marbling, ribeye, and percent retail, and adjusted each of those to four different endpoints, or most of them to four different endpoints, fat, carcass weight, marbling, and then the traditional age endpoint, which is what carcass traits are right now adjusted to. Now, obviously, for something like fat, we didn't adjust it to fat, but for those, so they were adjusted to three or four different endpoints, depending on the trait. Now, for those of you not as familiar with percent retail cuts, it's similar to yield grade, and it has several component traits with it, fat, and carcass weight being two of them. Those are two of the endpoints we're looking at. Kidney, pelvic, and heart fat and ribeye area are also component traits, but those weren't endpoints that we were considering at all. And if you notice, too, the fat conversion is quite a bit more than we see for the carcass weight adjustment. What we did, this slide is more for the animal breeders in the room. For those of you that ignore that if that confuses you. But it was a fairly simple animal model that we used. We used data from animals that were born over about a 10-year period from 1992 to 2001. Depending on the trait, there were anywhere from about 6,000 to 6,800 records. Percent retail cut had the least, and that's because it had to have all of those component traits in there. We fit contemporary group as well as the endpoint. So if it was a fat endpoint or marbling or carcass weight for age endpoints, that data. And what we found is no matter what endpoint we used, any of those four endpoints, for four of those EPDs, everything except percent retail cuts, it did not change the rank of our sires significantly at all. So if we just look at one in particular, so this is just looking at marbling as a trait, just as an example. We have the typical age adjustment rank, like you would see bulls in a sire summary today. If we compare it to, for instance, the carcass adjustment, we see that the bulls line up pretty similar. So bulls that rank in the top for marbling on an age adjustment are going to rank there for a carcass weight adjustment, same in the bottom. We see very little variation in those. And the correlation is 0.99. Now, I told you it works for four of the traits. It didn't work for percent retail cuts. We take these same two adjustments, age versus carcass weight, and instead of marbling, look at percent retail cuts as our trait. It still doesn't look too bad. Now our correlation is 0.96. We see a little more variation in here, but still our bulls are lining up fairly well. Where our problem came in, though, is when we looked at the fat endpoint. So we're still looking at percent retail cuts here. Now we have a correlation of 0.6, and we see bulls that ranked pretty high for percent retail cuts on one adjustment, but pretty low on the other. So we had bulls that were being re-ranked. In fact, if you looked at these, I had one bull that was in the top 20 in one adjustment and in the bottom 10 out of 1,500 bulls in the other. And so we knew that there was a problem there, but we still didn't know what was the correct adjustment. And then if you look at the heritabilities and the ranges on our EPDs, this is still just for percent retail cuts. The heritabilities, the range in our EPDs, and our phenotypic variance for an age endpoint, a carcass weight endpoint, and a marbling endpoint were fairly similar. They weren't a very much concern. We see a little reduction in variation in that carcass weight because that's one of those component traits, but not near as much as we see when we adjust out the fat. Phenotypic variance is cut in half. Our range of sire EPDs is decreased, and we're increasing our heritability as well. So what we did, we saw all that, and we've actually published those results. They were in the Journal of Animal Science last year, and up until this slide, I've presented this at BIF previously. But we knew there was a difference. We just didn't know which was better. So what we did, if you remember a few slides ago, I said we took records of animals born through 2001. So what we've done since then is we've taken animals that were born from 2002 to about 2005. I think there might be some early 06 borns that we have carcass data on. We ran the model the same way. We ended up having 822 progeny of these sires once we took out any edits that we needed to. We ran the data. And ideally, if those EPDs were predicting progeny performance the way we expect them to, we would expect a regression coefficient of 1, meaning for every change in sire EPD, we expect a unit change in progeny performance. And so we looked at that, and what we found, and because there were 822 carcasses, our standard errors are a little bit high, but I think you can see some tendencies here. The age endpoint, which is the traditional endpoint that's been used by all breed associations currently and most breed associations through history, is pretty much dead on. We're at about a 1. Carcass weight, we're a little higher, and marbling, we're a little lower, but we're still fairly close. The problem becomes in fat. And honestly, a couple years ago when I was presenting this, I was an advocate that this should be our endpoint, and I'm not too proud to admit that I was wrong. That here, we're seeing for every unit change in EPD, we're only seeing half of the unit change in percent retail cuts in the actual phenotype of this progeny. So basically what it amounts to is that these coefficients are supporting that there's negligible difference in percent retail cuts. And we're not worried about the other traits because we saw no difference. Percent retail cuts is the only one we saw a difference in. And for marbling, carcass weight, and age, there really is no difference. The fat endpoint is where we saw a difference, and we've shown that it is actually the worst model than the other endpoints, or the least predictive. And so just some next steps that we're hoping to do. One is I do want to shrink some of those standard errors down. We're going to, one of two things we're going to need to do, either add some more carcass data, or I think what we'll probably do, just in the interest of time, is recalculate those sire EPDs with a little less records, about 6,000 records. But shrink that down a little bit so we can have more carcasses in that validation phase and shrink those standard errors down. And then these are continental cattle. This is actual carcass data, not ultrasound data on continental cattle. And those equations were originally created for British cattle. So I would like to get my hands on a data set of some British cattle and see if we see similar results, and maybe even see some of those different biological types to see if those differences are the same across those. And with that, if there's any discussion or questions, Bob.
Yeah, Larry, please correct me if I'm wrong. On the ribeye area, I think we had Doyle Wilson analyze our carcass database, which would be larger than your database, it would be British. And on ribeye area, we had the highest heritability on carcass endpoint, carcass weight endpoint, and that seemed by far the best endpoint for ribeye area. And I also think, in terms of industry-wise, that also makes sense. And I think age adjustment is, I question age adjustment for ribeye area. And I think weight is more logical. In our population, was the highest heritability.
I only presented the percent retail cuts because that's where we saw the differences. We didn't see, at least in this data set, significant differences on the irritabilities map for the other traits. Ribeye area, we did see a little more than in some of the other traits, but not near what we were seeing here. And so even then, the carcass weight versus age did not appear to be significantly better or worse, at least for the Simmental. Now, with the Red Angus database, I mean,
we certainly thought it was significant, and I mean, you're welcome to our database. Larry, do you have anything to add to that?
No. Twice the ribeye rate was best with other traits.
When you say best, what do you mean? Just because it has a higher availability doesn't mean it's best.
Now, see, here the fat had the highest heritability significantly, but it was not the most predictive of the progeny.
And if you adjust to a weight constant endpoint with ribeye area, ribeye, they're very highly correlated. So you're taking out some of the genetic variation for ribeye area when you adjust to a constant weight. And the definition changes a little bit from what a ribeye area is. Sort of per 100 weight or per constant weight or something. I mean, it's a little different definition. So I'd be a little reluctant, or I'd be a little, I guess, nervous to take it to a weight endpoint for ribeye area because it's not the same definition you come up with yet.
But that's the way the industry works. I mean, the industry works on a relative ribeye area to weight basis. I mean, that's the way it works in real life. Dr. Dykman, would you agree with that?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what you're saying. I mean, you say the industry does that. But.
I mean, yield rate.
Ribeye is, of course, based upon differences in carcass weight. You have different ribeye requirements for different weights. But I guess I'm a little bit aligned, but the key to that, the two are fairly well related, so I don't know.
James, come in. I would say, I guess, as I think about it, we have a good growth prediction. We have driven weight, EPD, and those sort of things that characterize animals in terms of growth. If we have ribeye to the growth endpoint, then there's it's almost like a confounding there. As I think about, you know, ultimately, yes, the industry does work toward cutability, which is largely driven by fat more than ribeye or weight. But that in a decision support or in a retail product equation or something like that, I think that's, I understand ribeye for 100 weight as being a relatively simple and attractive selection criteria. But I think in terms of truly improving cutability, I think you'd be missing the boat a little bit. I think you'd be better off to use either a carcass profit index, preferably, or not having that in the mix would be some retail product value that is calculated from, that includes either yearling or carcass weight EPD, as well as and the ribeye area relative to age. As much as the industry prices on cutability, age and growth rate and that sort of thing is still relatively important. You know, the point rate of performance and those sort of things. In a ribeye per 100 weight situation, you can have some relatively poor performing animals look awfully good in that criteria, I guess.
But you can have some animals that are just large. They look very good on an age constant basis, but just they're just larger than a smaller animal, and that is not an indicator of how they would perform in real life. They're just bigger animals, or they're smaller animals.
And that's true that holds that high EPD animals could, high ribeye EPD animals could be, that could be a function of growth, that they're not inherently more muscular relative to their weight. But then again, I think we characterize their growth with a yearling weight EPD or something like that, and so I think that's still I think you can get to that answer and do a better job with the entire piece, with the cutability equation, including fat, that sort of thing, than ribeye.
I think that if you're index is constructed correctly, you're going to sort out those animals well. In other words, if you're going to find those animals that don't have enough ribeye area to go on dealing with. I think that if we wanted to select on just one trade, then I would agree with you that the ribeye area, just the weight constant basis, would be a better single trait to select on than ribeye area on an agency basis. But I think that as an industry, we've made great strides in just the last 5 years or so, moving away from trying to encapsulate all of our selection decisions into one PPD and moving towards more of a multiple trait selection approach to indices. And so the only thing that really changes if we go from age adjusted to weight adjusted is how much emphasis you're putting on the different components of the index. It still gets the same answer.
I don't necessarily agree, but.
So I've got another question. What is the rationale for adjusting percent retail product to a fat constant basis? I just can't understand. If I was looking for that one magical EPD to put all my eggs on, I just can't imagine that would be the one I'd be looking
percent for. Percent retail cut adjusted to a fat basis, I would argue, is no longer percent retail cut because you're pulling all that out. At the time we started this project, there were a lot of rumors going around that some Tom had heard and other people had heard from producers saying percent retail cut EPDs weren't working. And that was about the same time, or shortly before Angus dropped their percent retail cut EPD. And so we were trying to figure out if there was a better way to predict that. One of the thoughts that came from Civitol was cattle are being slaughtered probably more likely on fat constant endpoints than an H constant, and would that be a better predictor? So that's actually what started this entire project, was looking at that. And it's not a better predictor, it's really not percent retail cuts.
Is there a data set available that would have both continental and British in it that would allow you to see if there is any kind of re-ranking out of that constant or weight constant endpoint? I mean, I'm kind of shocked, as I'm not sure a lot of us were, that the correlations were that high, but you're somewhat in a homogenous population there. And so is there a good database to look at the other way? I mean, that's something that's been on our thought radar for a long time, trying to understand. Is there a good database that has that?
Clay, I was just kind of whispering here to Mark. Clay Center might have the best way of getting around that, because even if I were to take Bob's database, sure, that would be late. Primarily Red Angus.
Yeah, there's no Angus sires in that Simmental database, or not enough to break it out?
Not enough to break it out.
Well, any other discussion on the endpoint issue? All right, well, thank you, Janice. Next on our agenda.